Since the 1800s, Hickok & Boardman Insurance Group has been providing quality service and peace of mind to our clients. With our offices in Burlington, Stowe, and St. Albans, and our Dennis Ricker & Brown offices in Montpelier and Lynnonville, we are here when you need us.
And now WDEV FM and AM presents our two-hour public affairs program, Open Mic with Mike Smith. Important topics, topical guests, and your phone calls. And now here's the host of Open Mic, Mike Smith.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us this morning. Busy program today. First up, Riley Field, the newly crowned Miss Vermont. And then in the second hour, our very own Jack Donovan will join us. This summer is the 85th year anniversary of WDEV, and we've been interviewing those that have worked at WDEV or those that are working now, and sometimes that's one and the same. They've worked, come back, retired, come back. It's sort of like the Hotel California here. You can check in, but you can never leave, sort of thing. So we'll interview Jack. I find these interviews informative because I learn more about the history of this station through these interviews. But first up, Riley Field, the newly crowned Miss Vermont. Good morning, Riley.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. One of the things that I'm always curious about with people that are in your position, what motivates you to do what you do, and why did you choose to pursue the Miss America crown?
Well, initially, I chose to start in the Miss Vermont program for scholarship dollars. This is a huge program that gives out thousands of dollars for scholarships every year. And once I really learned what the program was about and I learned who was involved with it, it becomes more about the people. The people that are involved in Miss Vermont and the people that are involved in Miss America are some of the most talented, driven, intellectual women you'll ever meet. And those women are inspiring regardless of what state they come from or what state they represent. And that's a huge part of the Miss America program.
So tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, where you graduated high school from, where you went to college, what you do now.
Sure. So I grew up in Montpelier. I was born and raised. I went to all my schooling in there. And then I graduated Montpelier High School in 2010, which feels like a very long time ago right now. And I went to Colby Sawyer College in New London, New Hampshire, where I graduated with a degree in creative writing and a minor in business. I came back here right after college. I lived in Montpelier for a year or so, where I started working at the Capitol Plaza Hotel. I am the wedding coordinator there, amongst other things. We all wear many hats as it's a family-owned business. And then I moved to South Burlington. I picked up another job. I'm a Pure Barre instructor in the Blue Mall up there. It's a wonderful fitness class that I can't say enough good things about. And then, of course, a week ago, I picked up a third job, and now I'm Miss Vermont 2016. So Vermont is a very large part of my life. It's probably the base ground for everything that I am. So I'm really excited to get to represent Vermont for the next year.
Let's talk about that third job that you just picked up. What are the duties of Miss Vermont?
Well, this is a service position. So we say it's a job, but it really is just a labor of love. We get to go to all sorts of events all over the state of Vermont. We are representing the Miss Vermont Scholarship Program, of course, the Miss America organization, and our personal platforms. So nationally, our platform is Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, which, of course, benefits the UVM Children's Hospital in Burlington. Personally, my platform is about positive mental health and wellness and promoting those initiatives across the state of Vermont. So a lot of what we do is based on service. You know, we go to events, we go to Rotary Clubs, we go to schools, we go to parades. I'm going to the Strolling of the Heifers tomorrow in Brattleboro. So we do a lot of different things. It's one more position with one more set of hats.
One of the things that some people say and is that this is an affront to feminism. How do you respond to that?
I think once you meet the women that are involved in these programs, you realize that these are some of the most individualized people that are representing, you know, this very structured organization. I think very, very many times you have an image of what Miss America looks like. And that's true. She wears a crown. She's very well spoken. She's very poised and beautiful. But she's also 9 times out of 10 one of the smartest women you'll ever meet. She comes from a town that she loves and she's passionate about. She gives service to many different communities across the country, and she's absolutely talented. That's a huge part of the Miss America program, is that you have to be a well-rounded woman. And those kind of women are supportive of each other and supportive of women's initiatives and women in politics and all sorts of things like that.
Thinking about this, you've seen reality shows now where you see very, very young people competing in these sort of pageant-like beauty contests, you know, the Honey Boo Boos, is there something wrong with that? Does it come across as sort of exploiting what you're talking about?
I think it gives it a different color. I think it's important to realize that, you know, you're talking about a completely different organization. And we talk about kids being in beauty pageants and how it's important that they're making their own decisions in that regard. And that's a huge part of competing in Miss Vermont. You have to decide to make that commitment. So to some degree, I think it just creates another layer that we have to look at before we really look at the core of Miss America and Miss Vermont.
Do you think in some of those cases it's the parents pushing them and not the kids?
Well, I think it's hard to get a straight out answer out of a four-year-old sometimes, sure. So, you know, while your little girl might be interested at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning, when you get to that 7 p.m. crowning, she's probably not into it anymore. I think it's important in any pageant situation for anyone that's a minor, for their parents to have the right ideas, have the right outlook, and understand that This is hard. I'm 24 years old, and Friday night was hard on me. So it's important to know your boundaries and know your child's boundaries.
I'm just curious, what sort of interest did you have in high school and college?
It was not pageantry. It was not pageantry. I went into college to pursue writing. So writing was a huge part of my high school career and my middle school career even. And college, I really found my niche in the creative writing department. It was my sophomore year of college that I decided to compete in Miss Vermont, and it was the summer following my sophomore year of college that I finally competed. And that started to snowball and really become a passion of mine. I think in my senior year, it really became a balance between my passion for weddings, my passion for pageantry, and my passion for creative writing. And I think I've sort of struck a balance on that finally.
We're speaking with Riley Field, who's the newly crowned Miss Vermont. If you want to join our conversation, the number is 802-244-1777 or toll free at 877-291-8255. Why do you think you won?
Well, I think I made the decision when I decided to compete this year. I took last year off. So when I decided to compete this year, I knew I was going all out. I knew this was my last year to compete. And
is there an age requirement?
There is. The age for Miss is 17 to 24. So this was it for me. This was my last rodeo. And I decided that I was going to leave it all on the stage. I wasn't going to be concerned about what people think you should be on stage, what they think you should wear, what they think your talent should be. I was just going to be 100% Riley, and I was going to give it everything I've got. And I think that absolutely made a difference this year. And I hope that's what the judges and saw in me and decided to award me the crown.
What social issues are important to you?
Well, probably the biggest one is the issue of mental health in the state of Vermont. I'm focusing on promoting positive mental health and wellness throughout the state and really opening up that conversation to remove the stigma that surrounds mental health conversations and what we call parity when we talk about valuing mental health and wellness the same as we value physical health and wellness, to open up that path to care.
And how do you, how do you make a difference in that area?
Sure. So a lot of that involves opening up the conversation to people who have not previously been involved in it. I think a lot of the issues we have when we talk about mental health stigma is that people who don't discuss mental health or have not experienced mental health challenges aren't a part of that conversation. And that's an incredibly important voice. And that's one that we really need to open up here in the state of Vermont.
What got you interested in this area?
Personal experience. As many other people in the United States, one in five adults, in fact, have experienced mental health challenges. And I decided that once I came to a place of positive mental health and a great place of wellness, that I wanted more people to understand that journey from challenge to success and how that works in the mental health world.
And how do you feel that you can, what sort of avenues, what sort of venues would you go to promote this?
Well, I think one of the ones that I'd really like to focus on is kids. You know, I was lucky enough to meet with the executive director of Camp Daybreak yesterday, which is an outstanding camp program that focuses on giving kids an immense amount of positive encouragement and reinforcement who are already in those difficult situations. But I'd like to take that a little bit farther and visit kids who maybe just don't understand what it means to be challenged emotionally or mentally, and how they can both help themselves and help others and be supportive. And when you start at that baseline of kids, you really start to promote positive mental health and wellness through the years ahead, which is a huge benefit to the state of Vermont.
We're speaking with Riley Field, the newly crowned Miss Vermont. If you want to join our conversation, the number is 802-244-1777 or toll free at 877-291-8255. What do you do for recreation?
A lot. I'm a runner. I love running. I'm getting into it in the last few years, so I still am slowly approaching the title of runner. I do Pure Bar, of course. I teach it and I take it.
I don't know what Pure Bar is.
You know what? Most people don't. That's okay. It is a little bit of ballet, a little bit of Pilates, a little bit of yoga. It's small micro movements that focus on lifting, toning, and burning the muscles. It is a lot of work. It's so much fun. And I started taking Pure Bar about a year ago. And just 6 months ago, I started teaching. So I fell quickly in love with it. And then beyond that, I go to the gym. I have a wonderful gym sponsor now that I miss Vermont, Hammer Fit in Essex, Vermont. And I love to be outside when I'm working out whenever I can.
Let's turn to sort of what's going to happen between now and September.
Absolutely.
When the competition of Miss America happens. And I want to be clear, there's a difference between Miss America and Miss USA.
That's right.
That happens this weekend, actually.
That's right. Miss USA is this weekend. Miss America is September 11th this year, and it'll be on ABC. Still, I'm sort of wrapping my head around the idea of being on national television. That's almost still terrifying, but very exciting. We get to meet Chris Harrison and everything. But yes, there is a big difference between the two programs. First and foremost is that Miss America focuses on scholarship, focuses on education and getting women to provide a service to their community. And in return, you know, we further our education, whether that's with graduate school, paying student loans, or beginning your undergrad degree, as some girls still are. And additionally to that, the Miss America program also has a talent portion of the competition. And she, Miss America, goes on for a year of service. Traditionally, it's said that Miss USA goes on for a year of modeling and service. So it's a little bit different. They're very similar. We love the USA girls as much as we love the America girls. I'm very excited to watch the competition this weekend. But yes, I am not headed to Vegas this weekend. I get a little bit longer, and I get to go to Atlantic City in September.
Now, is there another contest beyond Miss America?
There is not, thank goodness. I think that would just be too much. No, Miss America is the top of the top, the farthest we can go.
And what do you win?
A lot of scholarship dollars. I believe Miss America Betty Cantrell won $50,000 to go to school or to apply to student loans. Of course, you win yet another crown, another sash. There's a litany of wonderful Miss America sponsors. And then more than anything, you win the year of a lifetime. I mean, you get to go to every state. You get to meet thousands of Children's Miracle Network children, they're miracle kids, they're called. You get to support the USO. You get to support, you know, almost every wonderful service organization you can think of Miss America has been associated with.
We're speaking with Riley Field, who is the newly crowned Miss Vermont. If you wish to join the conversation, the number is 802-244-1777 or toll-free at 877-291-8255. Miss Vermont has not had a good track record at the Miss America contest.
Well, she's not had a very successful track. You know, we've had Miss Vermonts that have won prelim talent awards. We have had Miss Vermonts that have won non-finalist talent awards, STEM awards, which is science, technology, engineering, mathematics. But yes, it's correct. She's never made the top 15. So that's the baseline goal going into the competition. Get to the top 15. And then I think once we're there, you'll see us go rise right to the top.
So how do you get to the top 15?
Well, you know, one of the biggest things is in Vermont, we produce a lot of non-traditional talents. I do spoken word poetry. Last year's Miss Vermont did a science experiment. Now, luckily, Miss America is opening up those doors to non-traditional talents. We saw last year in the top five was a monologue. So I'm hoping to see the spoken word poetry shoot right to the top this year as well. In Vermont, we produce girls that just love interview. It's one of my favorite parts of competition. I know our former Miss Vermonts would say the same thing. And that's a huge part of Miss America. So I'm hoping that combined with our fun yet non-traditional talents will help us get into the top 15.
Let me ask this. How is it judged? What criteria is used and how much is weighted per criteria?
Sure. So we do an interview portion with the judges, and that's private. It's not seen on stage. That's a 10-minute interview. We have our talent portion. We have lifestyle and fitness, which is commonly known as swimsuit, but it does focus on a little bit more than that. We have on-stage question and evening gown. And the percentages have changed a little bit in the state of Vermont. We used to weight things differently. We now weight them the same way Miss America does. So that's 20% for on-stage question. I believe that means it's 35 for talent, 25 for interview, 10 for swimsuit, and I think if my math is correct, that leaves us with 15 for evening gown.
That's great.
Yes, it's wonderful. And it shows, you know, a really well-rounded individual at the end of competition.
So you've really got to nail the talent and the interview.
That's right.
In order to
proceed. Your talent and your interview has to be stronger than anything else. I think mathematically, someone can score higher than you in evening gown, lifestyle, and fitness, and on-stage question. But if your interview and your talent are better, you're still mathematically more advanced.
So let's zero in on those two questions or those two areas where you're probably going to get that are important.
Absolutely.
So chances are you're going to get a political question.
Yes, it usually happens, and of course with the firestorm of election coverage we've seen this year, I assume that will happen, yes.
So let's ask that question.
Sure.
What do you think of the national election?
I think it's different than what I've ever seen. Now, granted, I'm 24, so I haven't been following that many presidential elections in my lifetime. But personally, I think it's a lot more volatile than I would like to see our potential national leaders engage in. I think it's a lot more vicious, and it doesn't focus as completely on the issues of our nation as I'd like it to, so much as it focuses on the issues of, you know, personal ideals and even dress and tans and hair colors and things of that nature.
So let's go to the talent portion. What will be your talent?
I will still be performing spoken word poetry. It's not yet been decided if I will do the same poem I used at Miss Vermont or if I will bring something different to the Miss America stage. But I always say my singing and my dancing needs to stay in the car when I do my own little car concerts. It doesn't need to be on the Miss America stage, so it will be spoken word poetry for sure.
And can you give us an example? What is spoken word?
Sure. So it's a little bit more than your traditional image of poetry. You know, you might think of the Robert Frosts of the world. Spoken word incorporates a lot more of someone's acting abilities and your ability to deliver it to the stage. My piece in particular is often used at TED conferences and things of that nature. The original poet likes to sub out things that have already been presented in a conference for lines in his poem. And you'll see, you know, if you watch the videos, that it's a lot of hand motions, it's a lot of facial expressions. It really focuses on the rise and fall of your voice and putting all of those together to deliver something that's a little bit more than a traditional reading.
So you did Mockingbird.
That's
Mockingbird.
Right. Mockingbird.
Can you recite?
By Reeves.
Can you recite a little bit?
I can. Sure. I'll start with. You can always stop me. It's only 90 seconds.
Go 90 seconds.
All right. Mockingbirds are the MCs of the animal kingdom. They listen and mimic and remix what they like. So check it. I'm going to catch mockingbirds all across the nation and put them gently into mason jars like mockingbird, Molotov cocktails. And as I drive through a neighborhood, say, where people got a lotta, I'll take a mockingbird I caught in a neighborhood where folks ain't got nada and just let it go. Cruising random interstates and city streets, rocking a drop-top Cadillac with a big back seat, packing like 13 brown paper bags full of loaded mockingbirds. And I'll get everybody. I'll get your postman making dinner plans. I'll get an ESL class in Chinatown learning it's raining, it's pouring. And I'll get everyone's good mornings. I don't care how you make them. Aloha, konnichiwa, shalom, assalamualaikum. Because everybody gets heard. Everybody gets this one honest mockingbird as a witness, and I'm on this. So the whole thing spreads with chat rooms and copycats and moms maybe tucking kids into bed singing, hush little baby, don't say a word. Wait for the girl with the mockingbirds. And then come the news crews and the interviews, everybody asking just who is responsible for this citywide, nationwide mockingbird cacophony, and somebody's finally going to tip the city council off to me. And they'll offer me a gold-plated, oversized key to the city, and that's all I need. Because if I can get that, I can unlock the air. I'll listen for what's missing, and I'll put it there.
We're speaking with Riley Field, the newly crowned Miss Vermont, and she just gave us the mockingbird rendition. It's a...
Sure, yeah, you can say it's a rendition. The original poem is about 2.5 minutes to 3 minutes.
So how do you get... I'm fascinated how you do it. It's called the spoken word. Mm-hmm. You've sort of taken a original poem and sort of condensed
it. Yes, condensed so it's still in its original order. Those are still Reeves' words. Just you're missing a couple stanzas within it. And it's so wonderful. I encourage everyone to look it up online. He's a very moving spoken word poet. He's very engaging, and yes, I personally love the longer version more than my 90-second version because I think it really adds to it. But yes, we've shortened it for the stage.
Let me ask you this: if you go over 90 seconds at the national event, what happens?
They don't like it. there are sticklers. They watch that time clock. You lose points.
You do?
Yes, that's the penalty. You know, it's not, oh, doesn't count. Sorry, you didn't compete in talent, but you do receive a tiny penalty. I don't think I've ever done it, thank goodness.
The private conversation that you have, what sort of questions will they ask you?
Well, they have the right to ask me anything they want, but we provide paperwork to the Miss America judges, just like we provide paperwork to the Miss Vermont judges. Those are our resumes and our platform statements. And most of the time, you'll see a collection of questions that come from your paperwork, as well as, like you mentioned, cultural topic questions. That can be anything from what celebrity inspires you to how do you feel about the top two nominees for president. It can be absolutely anything. They get to make them up all on their own.
Is there a question that stunned you?
I was really excited about my Miss Vermont interview this year. Like I mentioned, I decided that I was going to leave it all out there. But the first question they asked me was about the brides that I have and if I've ever had a difficult bride. And I didn't expect it. I didn't expect to bring my work career right into my pageantry career so quickly. So I think I was a little taken aback. I think they probably saw it in my face because I thought, wait a second. This isn't about weddings. But for the rest of the interview, I really enjoyed myself. I hope they really enjoyed me too. And it was a really strong interview.
Did you have a bridezilla?
You know, I always say we don't have bridezillas. We have brides that get stressed out. We have brides that get nervous. And that's why we have wedding coordinators. We are here to solve their problems. We are here to make sure that they're not stressed out.
Oh, you should go in politics. You should really go in politics. You avoided that question so masterfully. I really enjoy your skill. We're speaking with Riley Field, newly crowned Miss Vermont, and we'll continue in just a moment with this interview. This is Open Mic. Welcome back to Open Mic. I'm Mike Smith. In studio with me this morning is Riley Field, the newly crowned Miss Vermont. And wanted to get to some of the things that we get back to some of the things. walk me through, and maybe you don't even know yet, but walk me through what happens next. What do you do to get ready for September?
Sure. So, well, beyond all the appearances that will be happening and the platform work that we'll be doing and the parades that we'll be in, I'm going to start prepping for Miss America. I'm really excited. I actually have my first prep team meeting this Sunday, so I'm not sure yet what they're going to tell me. Of course, we've already talked about the fact that my goal is at least to hit that top 15. I want to get Vermont in there, and I want to make our state, our little state, heard. But as far as prepping for Miss America, you know, in a lot of ways, it's a lot like prepping for Miss Vermont. You work on your service work, you practice your talent, you stay fit, you eat well, and you really just sort of culminate that wardrobe that you're going to wear and focus on presenting the best person that you are to the judges, just as you would in your state pageant, except for you amp it up about 52 notches to get to Miss America.
One of the things, now my knowledge about these events is from a movie, Miss Congeniality. So this is
dramatized, to say the least.
Do you have a coach?
I don't. No, I do not have a coach. I did not have one for Miss Vermont, and I will not have one for Miss America.
Do people have coaches?
They exist. There are a couple, you know, ways to go about coaches. Some people would consider their vocal coach a coach, even if that's only to work on their voice. Some people have walking coaches. Some people have interview coaches. They exist. In the state of Vermont, we're not very pageant dense as it is, so those coaches are typically not in our state at all.
Usually, I would say they're in the South and California. Is that something?
Yeah, that's pretty typical. You'll see them as you go down the Eastern Seaboard. Yes, it's a lot in the South. Even in the Midwest, Oklahoma is a huge pageant state. Texas, of course, is a huge pageant state. And there are a higher concentration of both pageant girls and pageant coaches.
Why do you think that is the case, that Texas, California, the South, Georgia are... They have a lot of winners in these sort of things.
They do have a lot of winners. They also have a lot more pageants. So girls go into the Miss America system usually either after they've tried a couple other systems, or they'll go to another system after they've tried Miss America. In the state of Vermont, for all intents and purposes, we have two pageant systems. We have the Miss America organization. We have the Miss Universe organization, which does the Miss USA pageant. In states like Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, you see all sorts of other pageants. And for the most part, those pageants do the same thing: evening gown, talent, interview. They give out either cash or scholarship dollars. So you're just talking about a different realm. It's the same thing that maybe you don't see a lot of ice hockey players in Arizona. In the state of Vermont, we've got a lot of hockey players. In the state of Arizona, probably not so much. There's just not the market for it.
So pageants are weather related then? No, I'm just kidding.
No, well, you know, we'll find out as we move into the winter. We'll see how that works out.
Let me ask this question. So you eat well, you work out, you get ready. Where is the pageant?
It's in Atlantic City. It's Atlantic City, New Jersey. That's the what we call the original home of Miss America. It took a few years out in Las Vegas, but came back home a couple years ago. I was lucky enough to go in 2013 to watch Miss America, to watch my best friend compete as Miss Vermont. I got to tell you, that city is so welcoming. They are so excited to have Miss America back there. The hospitality, the warmth, the subs, I mean, all of it. It was amazing.
So when do you have to be there?
I leave at the end of August, and so that's a long distance between the final night of competition and when I leave. But that's all based on, you know, of course, rehearsals. It's national television. You know, we're not going to have us making fools of ourselves. We go to appearances. We visit New York. We visit lots of children from the Children's Miracle Network hospitals. And it'll be a long, very public series of events.
And how long is the actual event? You go there and you do these public appearances, but you do the interviews, you do the actual pageant. From start to finish, how long is that?
Well, it's actually a couple of days because the Miss America organization, of course, there's 52 women, and that's including Puerto Rico and Miss Virgin Islands. And you do your interview on one day. There's preliminary competitions over a course of 3 days to have the first set of judges see every girl in phase of competition. And then, of course, the final night, September 11th, is Miss America. So, you know, it could be said that it's 4 days long. I think it's going to feel like it's the full 3 weeks long. But for the final 15, it's that one night, that one Super Bowl of pageants.
What's the strangest question you ever got?
Well, in the last 7 days, I have been asked 4 separate times if my crown is made of diamonds, which to me is that would be amazing. B, I would be a lot more nervous to be wearing it on my head. You'll see it shortly, but it's a lot of stones on there. If those were real diamonds, it would be worth a lot more. And I think I'd feel a little less worthy of it.
What's the most common question you get?
I'm 7 days in, so that's a little hard. I think the most common one I've gotten is, what's next? What happens now? Because you work up to that Miss Vermont competition. Of course, a lot of people have been following this journey of mine. And now, okay, well, now you're Miss Vermont. What's next? And, of course, we know it's Miss America.
What happens if you win Miss America?
Well, for one, I'm probably going to cry. but it means you embark on a journey of an absolute lifetime. You take a whirlwind of a year. For the state of Vermont, it means that my first runner-up gets to become Miss Vermont, as, of course, I'd hate to leave Vermont without a representative. And it means that I'm going to be traveling out of 2 suitcases for the 365 days that follow.
Let's talk about back to the Miss Vermont pageant. How many contestants were there?
There was 12 Miss contestants and 16 contestants.
I got confused on that. One more time?
12 misses and 6 teens. So there's a total of 18 contestants, but only one teen
wins.
That's right. Yes, there's 2 phases of competition. There is a teen title holder. Alex is a resident of St. Albans, so she's in school this morning. She's 15 years old, and she'll be Miss Vermont's outstanding teen for the next year.
And is there a national competition for them as well?
There is, yes. Miss America's outstanding teen. That is in the first week of August. In Orlando, Florida. So she'll be roasting down there in just a few months.
How is all this pageant funded?
Mostly through fundraising and through the support of very generous donors and sponsors. You know, I mentioned I have a fitness sponsor. I also have a wonderful hair sponsor of Sher Diva Salon. I have a makeup sponsor. And these are the people that help me get to Miss America and get through my year as Miss Vermont without depleting every dollar I make at the Capitol Plaza and through Pierre Bar. So I have a fuel sponsor, which is amazing, Foster Motors of Middlebury, and that's rotating. So all year long, we're raising funds to give away those scholarship dollars for the next pageant while maintaining whatever Miss Vermont is doing, whether that's traveling from Fairfield to Brattleboro every day. We've got to help her do that.
Who do you admire?
Well, right now, Miss Vermont 2015 is saving my behind every single day. I've been texting her constantly, what do I wear to this? What do I do for this? How do I do this? But really, the volunteers that helped me on the night of the pageant, those women, I tell you, I would have tripped on my dress. I would have forgotten my earrings. I would have, you know, not had the food delivered to the Barry Opera House. I am so thankful for those women and the fact that they do it so selflessly and with only our thanks as payment. That's so admirable.
One of the things I'm always curious about, the wardrobes. Who chooses the wardrobes and what goes into that decision?
At Miss Vermont, I chose my own wardrobe, of course. And at Miss America, I will also be choosing my own wardrobe, but I'll have that previously mentioned Miss America prep team helping me out. It's a lot of work. When I decided on choosing my evening gown this year is actually when I decided if I was going to compete for Miss Vermont. I knew that unless I was finding a dress I felt like I could win in, I wasn't going to do it. And I'm so lucky I did find that dress because, of course, it snowballed into competing last week and winning. But it's all about finding what you're comfortable in and what represents you. And I think once you find those pieces, it doesn't matter what color they are or if it's a long dress or if it's a mermaid dress or whatever that is. It's just about how you feel in it, because that's how you absolutely show who you are on stage.
And do you go out and select your own dress for the Miss Vermont?
Actually, I'm incredibly lucky. I have the sponsorship of Gregory Ellenberg out of South Carolina. He will design my Miss America evening gown. It's going to be custom designed. It's totally sponsored by him. That is, in the pageant world, that's a huge deal. I will bring the gown that I won Miss Vermont in as what we will call a walk-on gown to use on a night of competition that I'm not competing in evening gown. But yes, I'm very lucky that not only do I get to select my evening gown for Miss America, I get to help design it.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that, as I was sort of doing the research for this, is seeing the dress that you won in here in Vermont. How do you walk in that?
It's all about the kicks. It's all about the driving force of the foot.
Can you describe the dress?
So the dress is huge. There's plenty of pictures on it of it on the internet. I called it the Beast, and I refer to it in the third person. I call her a her because she's so big and she takes up so much space in my house. And she's in two dress bags right now, and she still takes up so much space. But it's a huge mermaid on lower part of the dress. It's lots of tulle and crinoline. It has a massive train, and the bodice is entirely beaded and stoned. It's a Cherry Hill Couture dress, and I was lucky enough to get it down in Danvers, Massachusetts. And walking in that dress took a lot of time, a lot of effort. Those volunteers that help with the Miss Vermont program helped pin up the two long parts that were by my toes. They helped me carry it down the stairs. They helped fluff me before I walked on stage. But it's all about the kicks. It's just with every step, you kick your foot forward and to a C, and you just kick it and kick it and kick it and hope and pray that you do not trip.
I don't know how I could beat that. We're speaking with Riley Field, the newly crowned Miss Vermont. We will return in just a moment. This is Open Mic. Welcome back to Open Mic. I'm Mike Smith. We're speaking with Riley Field, the newly crowned Miss Vermont. Riley, you, we just took out during the break the crown, and it is heavy. Can you describe this?
So the crown has 4 points. It's got a lot of stones on it. We've discussed they are not diamonds. And then it's got these 5 pieces of elastic in it, which I have to say, beyond the question of is the crown made of diamonds, the next question is how do you get it to stay on your head? Well, the answer is elastic and clips, hair clips, bobby pins. It kind of depends on your head. It kind of depends on your hair, what you decide to use. I use hair clips. And yes, the crown is every Miss America state title holder. So Miss Maine to Miss California gets the same style crown. We all have our own crowns. Each title holder gets their own. So this is not Miss Vermont's 2015's crown. This is mine. She has hers. And it is the step above what we call the local crown, which Vermont does not have local pageants, but there are, of course, local pageants in other states. And it is a step below the Miss America crown, which is considerably bigger. But they all do have the 4 points, which represent style, service, scholarship, and success.
Does the Miss America crown, are those diamonds?
No, they're still not diamonds. I think there's just too much value to have the crown be placed on her head for so long. And it's important to note, this crown is going to go through a lot in the next year. I'm going to the strolling of the heifers. I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know if I want to bring real diamonds into that situation. No diamonds. No diamonds are involved in the making of this crown.
Because all diamonds, you have to bring an entourage to the guard.
Well, yeah, and I don't know if I'd put it in just a simple box either.
I'm interested, and I have to ask you this question. If you had to ask someone a question, who would that be, and what would you ask them?
I think that changes every day. But yesterday, I actually got a phone call from Miss America herself, Betty Cantrell. And she said to me, do you have any questions? Now, in the moment, when Miss America calls you while you're eating your lunch on a Thursday, you kind of go blank. And I did not have a question. But I think if I were to revisit that and I were to get another phone call from Betty saying, congratulations, you just won Miss Vermont. Do you have any questions? I would say, Betty, how am I going to make it through the next year? I'm so excited. I'm so overwhelmed. There's so many things I want to do. How do I make sure I do it all? Mm-hmm. And I hope, you know, as she's Miss America, her reign is coming to an end shortly. She was previously Miss Georgia. I hope she would have a good idea of, you know, how to find that balancing act of three jobs. And one of them demands as much as your attention as you can possibly give it. And how to find that balance of doing everything you want and, you know, still sleeping, which is I've found is very important this year, this week, excuse me, flexible, but very important.
Let's break it down into categories. If it was a world leader, who would it be?
You know, I think as a two-term outgoing president, I'd have to say President Obama. That man has been through a lot in the last nearly 8 years, and I'd love to know how he feels leaving, if he's ready to leave, if he wishes, of course, that he could go for one more term. I think he was just out in the Midwest, and they were chanting, four more years, and he mentioned, of course, one, he can't, but two, that Michelle would not let him. But I wonder, would he do it if he could?
The other question, in the entertainment business, who would it be?
Well, you know, I always say Nick Jonas is one of my favorite celebrities. I'd love to know how it feels to have been in the public eye for so long. You know, I'm 7 days into this, and it's still bizarre that someone recognized me in the coffee shop the other day. And he's, of course, been doing this for, I don't know, decades.
Yeah, I have that trouble all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure.
What about sports?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a Bruins fan. I'm a Red Sox fan. But I think I'd have to pick Zdeno Chara just because I want to know what it's like to be that tall. Like, what is that like? I mean, I'm only 5'4". I can't say it's that short, but it is not that tall.
What do you want people to know about you?
Well, most importantly, in the last week, I've noticed that when you see the crown, when you see the sash that's also sparkly that says Miss Vermont, something pops up into your head immediately. Now, whether that's a beauty queen or a representative of Vermont, it's something. It's a preconceived notion. And I would like people to know that I am different than any other Miss Vermont you've met before. I'm different than any other Miss Vermont you're going to meet again. And I am a lot more than a crown and a sash, and all you have to do is ask to find out.
And what do you hope to accomplish in the year that you are Miss Vermont?
I've always said that my goal is Miss Vermont, you know, even before I win. And I hope everyone knows that going into a competition like this, you've got to have the mindset that you're going to win. So what do you want to do with it? I've always said, though, that to be Miss Vermont, I want to leave a legacy that says she knew what she was doing. She knew how to connect with the people of Vermont and show them that she's just so excited to represent them and to meet them and to learn about them and to hear what they do and want and need. And, you know, in addition to that, of course, is my platform work. I'd love to make an impact on the discussion of mental health in the state.
Does everybody have a different platform?
That's true. Yes, everyone has a different platform. You can have the same platform as someone else. However, it's all based on choice. So whether that's blood donation, organ donation, a STEM platform, an Alzheimer's platform, whatever it is, that's based on your personal experience and your drive to help your community.
And your platform won't change from the state competition onto the national.
That's correct. It remains the same. I mentioned that we do have a national platform. So part of every organization and part of the Miss America organization is the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. So we work closely with, in this state, UVM Children's Hospital. And on the national level, we work with them to do, you know, free pancake day at IHOP and the balloon sponsorships at Rite Aid and things of that nature.
Well, the questions in that private interview, will it be directed at your platform, or will it be just anything?
Ideally, it would be directed at my platform, just so that they can get a good idea of who I am and what I do. But 9 times out of 10, you'll find that it is directed on what they feel like asking. So if there is a big national news story, whatever it is, whether it's about who can use what bathroom or national terror issues, they'll try to ask about those first, because Miss America has to be so reactive to things of that nature, and they'll want to see what contestants can say.
And how much time do they give you?
It's the same time as a state interview. It's 9.5 minutes with a 30-second closing.
So let me ask you this. A few days ago, a gorilla was killed at the Cincinnati Zoo. Was it correct to kill that gorilla?
I'm going to be honest with you. I chose not to watch the video. I don't know the situation of what it physically looked like. But I do know that there are instances where maybe decisions were made a little too quickly. It sounds like it was all accidental on the child and the animal's part. It sounds like maybe the gorilla was not malicious, excuse me. But the child died. And
the gorilla died.
Excuse me. The child was injured, and the gorilla was in some part at fault.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thank you. This was so exciting. I'm so glad I got to have my first radio interview within my first week as Miss Vermont.
We've been speaking with Riley Field, who is the newly crowned Miss Vermont, and we've had a great conversation in the last hour. Thank you for listening in. Coming up, an extended check-in with Talk Media News, and then Jack Donovan, our own Jack Donovan, who will be in studio and will be talking about the 85th anniversary of WDEV. And of course, if you've missed any portion of this interview or other interviews, you can go on to our WDEVradio.com website and click on the Open Mic podcast. This is Open Mic, and you are listening to locally owned and operated WDEV Radio News on the Friendly Pioneer, celebrating its 85th year anniversary this year, and we'll be talking a lot about that in just a moment. WDEV AM 550, broadcasting from Waterbury and Montpelier, 96.1 FM from Warren, 96.5 FM from Barrie, and serving the kingdom at 101.9 FM from Island Pond, and of course, streaming worldwide at WDEVradio.com. I'm Mike Smith. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Open Mic. I'm Mike Smith. In a moment, we'll turn our attention to national issues with our colleagues at Talk Media News. And on the line is Victoria Jones. Good morning, Victoria.
Hi, Victoria Jones here.
Hey, what's happening in D.C.?
Well, what's happening in D.C. is people are trying to figure out various things, and one of them is scratching their heads about why were the jobs numbers so bad.
Mm-hmm. And why were they? Does anybody know?
No, because the jobs numbers only came out 90 minutes ago, so that's one thing. They think that, you know, first of all, the jobs numbers are that the economy only added 38,000 jobs last month, which is down from 123,000 the month before. So we're talking about 38,000 in May, and well below expectations of 160,000. So what they're thinking is, basically, there was a Verizon strike that could have affected it. There was also patchy weather in some American regions. They think that could have made the report more difficult than usual to decipher. So they're thinking that's a piece of it. And always the jobs numbers are a snapshot. And sometimes they're more snapshotty than others. This may be that month. Because recently, for months and months and months, really for the last several years, they've been in the hundreds, you know, the mm-hmm. hundred and something thousand, the hundred and this thousand, the hundred and that thousand. So for it to suddenly drop like this, it doesn't really make any sense. It could just be that there weren't any jobs, but it doesn't quite make any sense. Now, a separate survey, a different survey that was not affected thought to be affected by the Verizon strike is the unemployment rate. That fell to 4.7% in May from 5% the month prior. That was the lowest reading since November 2007, and that was better than the 4.9% that the Wall Street anticipated. And it's not thought that it's because people gave up. It's because, you know, it's thought that people were looking for jobs and things like that. So the two things don't mesh. So it's a mystery at the moment.
Victoria, given your background, and I am going to switch to across the pond to Britain.
If
that's okay with you. It looks like this is going to be a nail biter on this vote, this referendum coming up in terms of Britain exiting the European Union. What's the latest on what's going on there?
Well, I haven't seen a poll in the last day or so, but there was a poll out, a respected poll just a couple of days ago that really had shown things narrowing. And this was a good poll. I mean, you know, because some polls you know are not very good, polling is just not as reliable, by the way, in elections in England as it is over here. But this poll had shown that the Leave campaign had really gained ground and had taken over from the Remain campaign. Now, Remain means remain in the European Union. Leave means get out, go, and go it alone. And it had been thought that people would probably vote to remain, but they weren't factoring in what I was factoring in. I don't know why I was getting it right, which is the enthusiasm factor, which is sort of the Trump factor. The people who want to leave are fired up. They want to get out, and they want to get out over things like immigration. There's an element of xenophobia. There's an element of nativism. And there's a kind of feeling we're an island, you know, we're an island unto ourselves, and we want to be that again. We don't want Europe. Britain's always been a bit like this. And there's this feeling that we're being overrun. Britain's always been a bit like this. But this feeling of being overrun, which makes it sound like it's vermin, and there's an element of playing on that in a kind of nasty way, is failing to take into account so many other aspects of the European Union and the very real possibilities of huge financial ramifications for Britain, for Europe, and for the world if Britain gets out. And at this point, I could not toss it up. The bookies are still saying, and it's really the bookies that you want to keep your eyes on in these things, because they tend to call it better than the polls. The bookies are still saying that people will ultimately vote to stay in, but even the bookies have narrowed it.
You know, what's interesting is England has always had that sort of independence streak. I mean, they did not go with the euro. They kept the pound, even though they're in the European Union. So it seems to me that it's going to be a very, very interesting outcome in terms of what happens here.
Yes.
Coming back across the pond, going across the country, California. Latest polls have it a nail biter there in California with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. But Hillary Clinton is ignoring Bernie Sanders, it seems, at least nationally, and going after Trump. Is that a good strategy for her?
Well, I think she has to do this because she feels that she has to really focus on the general election at this point, because that is her big enchilada, if you like. And if she stays focusing on Bernie Sanders, and it's now June, she's missing opportunities. She believes that she has the delegates. She believes that she is the nominee. So even if she is a little bit panicked about California, and I think she is, I think she's worried that she could possibly lose California, she has to focus on Donald Trump.
But if you lose California, and she may, isn't that, psychologically, doesn't that send a signal to the Democrats?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge embarrassment. It's a huge embarrassment. But another signal to the Democrats is what happened yesterday, and that was a really powerful speech. Probably, you could make the argument that yesterday was her first powerful speech in the campaign.
And one of the things on Donald Trump, I see that Paul Ryan has now come out and endorsed him.
Yes, he has. And it's taken a while. And he wrote an op-ed in his local paper in Janesville. And it wasn't a rousing endorsement, but it was an endorsement. And if you think about it, it would have been remarkably awkward if he hadn't endorsed Donald Trump. Paul Ryan is after Joe Biden, he's next in line for the presidency. He's the most senior elected Republican in the country. And it would have been very awkward for Paul Ryan to chair the Republican convention, and there would be Donald Trump, who's going to be the nominee, and Ryan wouldn't have endorsed him. It would have just been awkward. Now, Ryan said in this op-ed that they'd had these conversations and that they really shared much more in the Republican agenda than they disagreed on, but Ryan never really laid out what that was.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting.
You know, next week's going to be all politics, at least in the first half of the week. So, Victoria, I hope you have a great weekend and a restful weekend before the storm hits next Tuesday.
You too.
Victoria Jones, Talk Media News, thank you so much for joining us today. Up next, Jack Donovan, our own Jack Donovan. We're talking about DEV. His time at DEV is 39 years here at DEV and what it means to him. This is Open Mic. Welcome back to Open Mic. I'm Mike Smith. It's my pleasure, and it really is truly a pleasure, to welcome Jack Donovan to our WDEV studios. He knows these studios better than I do, being the short-timer here. We're talking about the 85th anniversary of WDEV later this summer. We bring in various people who have worked or are working here at WDEV and ask them to reminisce a little bit. Jack, welcome.
Thanks very much, Mike. Appreciate it.
Jack, you started at WDEV in 1972. How did you make your way to WDEV?
Well, how far back do you want to go?
Let's go way back. Because I noticed you were in Massachusetts.
Yes. I grew up in Mass, about 18 miles south of Boston, down toward the Cape, down around the Plymouth area. Went to college in Boston, graduated from Cambridge Junior College, and then I went. First job was at a, I'm going to sound like Ted Baxter here, a 1,000-watt station in Plymouth, Massachusetts, WPLM. And I was there for about a year. I was a newsreader there, read the news and covered the city council meetings, and worked there for less than a year. Then I moved to Hanover, New Hampshire, by Dartmouth College, WTSL.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there for about a year and a half. That was a wonderful world of music radio station. So you back announced, ladies and gentlemen, that was Frank Sinatra with Strangers in the Night. And read a weather forecast. After about a year of that, it got kind of boring. And a friend of mine said there was an opening at WSKI. And I didn't know much about it, so I drove up there. You're going to love this reference, because that was the first time that I heard music to go to the dump by. It was 1968, and I was driving up for an interview with Tom Cheney at WSKI. And I heard these two guys. I was kind of surfing on the radio stations to find what was in the area up there. And I heard these two guys talking about, you know, those darn Norwich cadets did it again. They tipped all of those cows over, those side hill cows over, and now everybody is just in arrears in Tunbridge down there. I said, what the heck is this? And they were playing this off-the-world music that I just couldn't relate to at that particular time. It was Ken Squire and Brian Harwood. That was in the early stages of music to go to the dump by. And who would think some 15 or 20 years later I'd be doing co-hosting with Ken on a Saturday morning of that show. Anyway, so I stayed at WTSL for about a year and a half. Then I went to work at WSK. I was there for about 5 years. Worked with the legendary Bob Bannon, so that was a real treat. Got to understand what local radio was all about, because I don't know if you knew Bob at all.
I didn't know him.
We're familiar with him. He had a high-rated show. He was opposite Rusty Parker, and I think they both kind of dueled in the ratings book, so to speak. But he had this problem with the state police, and he was very opinionated, and people loved him getting on the air and kind of dissing them. So I was there for about 5 years. I had an afternoon show, and like most getting into the business, you did everything there, as I did when I got here. And I covered city council meetings and school board meetings. Bob would cover Barry, and I would cover Montpelier, and then we'd kind of share notes. And after working 55 hours a week, getting close to 60, I was looking for something with a little less hours and a little bit more money. A friend of mine who covered the city council meetings from WDEV at that time was John Irving. He was news director here, and he said, well, there's an opening in the afternoon over there. The afternoon guy is going to work for Channel 3, and that was Dave Coleman. Mm-hmm. He went to do the weather over there. So I came in and interviewed with Rusty Parker and sat down, and he told me about the radio station. And so I took the station because of the fact that I could work 5 days a week. I had an afternoon shift. That was my only responsibility. And I did that for about 10 years. First 10 years I was here. I was on, and I had an afternoon shift that started at 1 o'clock and ended at 5. So it was 4 hours of me playing music and just conversing with the folks. So that was my entrance to WDEV, the first 10 years anyway.
You come across, and you do it here too, is this quiet, everyday, and nice guy. Are you?
Except when I work with Ken. No, I'm just kidding. I guess, to a certain extent. Easygoing, yeah. Yeah.
One of the things that people really admire is the banter between you and Ken, and it's legendary, the banter that goes back. Is it scripted? Because it's so darn good.
No, nothing is ever scripted with Ken. It's, and I think it really started when we were doing the sports together in the afternoon at around 5:15 when the news service didn't start until then. And then I started working Saturday mornings. And you got to remember, the dump show was only 15 minutes then when I first started with Ken. And then some of the things that he picked, because he started picking on me earlier when I was doing the show in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
He would start saying, why are you playing that? You know, he hated Motown for some reason. And he didn't like Elvis. And, you know, of course, I grew up with all of that stuff. He would come in the afternoon. He'd say, you know, Jack, you might want to spice up your program a little bit by putting some Sinatra in there, will you? You know, get some of that Big Four in there. I can never remember what the Big Four was. I think it was Sinatra. Ella Fitzgerald was another one. So I, you know, being the good company guy, I did what he told me. Then I had an out-of-town playlist when he left to do his stuff with CBS. And the Motor Racing Network, I'd break out the Jack Donovan playlist, so I'd play a little bit more of the stuff that I liked. So I got away with it that way. But it was always picking on me for the music I played. Oh, you're always playing those Outlaws, and who would know later on he likes the Outlaws now. So,
yeah.
But it's just one of those things that clicked, and we started picking on each other. And one of the most, you know, I can go anywhere today, and I've been here 40-plus years, and they won't ask me about the morning news service, which I think is the three news blocks that we have here, just I think which are what make the radio station and the things that we do in the community. But they'll ask things like, what is it with you and Squire? Do you hate each other? Why? And how can you talk to your employer like that? How can you just talk to him like, and why doesn't he fire you? So that kind of thing caught on with people, and so they liked the combativeness, I guess, which was, you know, think of what's going on today. It's pretty tame, but
right.
In politics. But and so that just that's kind of caught on, and we've been kind of doing that now for a number of years.
Why have you stayed here for 40 years? Over 40 years.
No place else to go. No. There's no place else that would let me do what I do. I mean, one of the things that I really enjoyed doing at this radio station, and I got to give credit to Pat Connolly, who worked night times here. When I came in 1972, he started inviting in Vermont artists to kind of perform because we had still had the dinner jazz type format when there wasn't a Red Sox game or some other sporting event. And he would invite local artists in, and I said, well, I love that. And it takes us back to the early days of WDEV when they all came in here. It was the, I'm saying radio, before that there was the Pony Boys, and there was all sorts of local artists who would come in here and play down in the mezzanine studios here at DEV. And I love that concept. And so I with Tom Beardsley, who was hired just a few months after I was, we started talking about it, and then we started contacting some of these wonderful musicians and talented folks that we have here in Vermont. And that began a 16-year run of Vermont Live. And everybody from Big Joe Burrell to Kilimanjaro to John Gilmore to John Castle, they played down in the studios down here. For me, it was like having a little home concert, you know. They would come to my little studio here, sit down and talk like you and I are talking, and play this wonderful music. And that, to me, was sold me. And so I just kind of stayed, started my family up here. And, you know, there's not a better place to live, to grow up with a family than in Vermont. So that's why I stayed.
We're speaking with Jack Donovan, our own very own WDEV's very own Jack Donovan. If you wish to join our conversation, the number is 802-244-1777 or toll free at 877-291-8255. Is there a moment that you can reflect on that sort of strikes you as one of those moments where just pure humor comes out, or pure something funny about...
Which remote do you want me to talk about?
One in particular?
Well, no, I mean, there were so many. I mean, we're legendary here about going out with he's probably down there listening now, so you just better be quiet, young man. You know, we don't have the best equipment, but we have what is necessary. And I think Ken has always made that point clear. You need what is necessary to get the job done. So we've gone out a number of times over the years. And Can you hear me? Am I coming through? But we got the job done, yeah. And that was the most important thing. I remember in 92, was it? We had the floods in Montpelier. That was before cell phones and everything. He was sending everybody out there to do, you know, to get the story, along with he and Eric. And we did get the story by, you know, sending people out to various locations. And that's another important thing about DEV. Everybody does everything here. So you become a reporter when a tragedy like that strikes. The same thing with Hurricane Irene, or Tropical Storm, I guess it was.
Jack, who do you consider your mentor?
My mentor?
Mm-hmm.
Probably Ken, I would say, yeah. I would, over the years, frustration with him because I always thought he was coming up with these harebrained ideas. And most of the time they were right. Sometimes they were wrong. And he was, you know, classy enough to admit it. But and he would come up and say something to the effect that, you know, you ought to put more Delbert McClinton on in the afternoon. Get more Delbert McClinton. Get more Randy Newman on there. And I wasn't particularly enamored with him. But as I grew to listen to him and appreciate what artists they were, they become part of my repertoire as well. And about the whole thing of community. And relevance from radio, and those are the things that are so important today and have always been.
Was there any point in time where you thought about doing something different? And what would it be?
That's a good point. I don't know what it would be.
Yeah.
Probably salesman. Don't all radio guys usually go into sales afterwards? Selling life insurance or something of that nature?
I don't know. I haven't been in it long enough.
Yeah, probably something like that.
What is your favorite music?
I'm from the singer-songwriter period, so I like the James Taylors. I like the Randy Newmans. I like the solo artists who create the art. You know, everybody laughs. I love Jimmy Buffett because I think he's a feel-good guy, and he writes a lot of good stuff that some folks think it's sugar-coated, but it really takes you away and takes you another place. So if you're going to have a real stressful day, it's nice to put a Buffett album on and listen to it and just get away from it all.
We're speaking with Jack Donovan. We'll continue our conversation with WDEV's own Jack Donovan in just a moment. I want to go into talking about news events over the last 40 years. This is Open Mic. Welcome back to Open Mic. I'm Mike Smith. We're speaking in studio here with Jack Donovan.
I want to thank Tom for that music. I mean, it's there's Buffett music if I ever heard it. Right?
It kind of makes you want to sail.
I told you.
In the Caribbean.
I told you, yeah. son of a sailor.
What do you, is there a sort of a motto that you live your life by?
Just to be as kind to people as I'd like people to be kind to me. I guess it's the golden rule, just like anybody else. You know, I appreciate somebody calling up and saying, oh, boy, I love that song you played, and I'll try to play it again for maybe another week or so for him. It's just human kindness, I guess.
Do you get people calling up and saying, I hate that song?
Sure.
Never play that?
Oh, absolutely. Ken about every other day.
What? A news event. You got a lot of reaction out there. I see people laughing. And one of the things that, you know, sends newsrooms into tizzies are major events. Is there a major event that comes to your mind that happened at DEV that sent sort of the newsroom into tizzies?
Well, it didn't happen at DEV. It happened on a national scale. And I think 9/11 was the thing that really changed everything. Changed the way we did things here. I mean, we dropped everything. I remember Eric Michaels. He was doing his morning broadcast over there, and I think it was around 9:15 in the morning when we got the news. He said, this is it. This is going to change everything, and boy, was he right. We just stopped everything. It was wall-to-wall broadcast. We tried to connect with people that we knew lived in the area where it happened, and we just everybody's mood just changed, and it was a defining moment, I think, for all of us here, anybody in broadcasting at that point.
What about a Vermont event?
Oh, boy. Well, from my standpoint, Tropical Storm Irene, when that roared through here, I retired 3 days after that. I had no idea that was going to come through then. But certainly, the deaths of major folks, whether it was Bob Stafford or whether it was Governor Snelling, which is another one as well.
The unexpected death of
Governor Snelling. Yeah, and then, of course, Howard Dean took over after that, and everybody was wanting to know what was going to happen then, and we all know what happened, right?
Right. We're speaking with Jack Donovan, our WDEV's own Jack Donovan. We're talking about DEV. We're doing
as opposed to what, Mike?
I don't know. I just, it's a phrase, Jack.
I know. Jack's own WDEV.
We're talking about DEV because this summer is the 85th anniversary of WDEV, and we want to talk to people who have been around here and some people who haven't, but people who have worked and people who have been around here for a long time and people who haven't been around here for a long time. We're having as many people on the air as possible to talk about WDEV. And Jack, before I do that, if you have a comment or opinion or question, give us a call at 802-244-1777 or toll free at 877-291-8255. Jack, what does WDEV mean to you?
Well, I think it means, I was going to say security, I have a job, but I think it's really a community-run radio station that I'm very proud to have been part of this for 40-plus years, in the fact that I think we have been a part of this Central Vermont community, as you said, for 85 years, but I've been here about a little more than half of that, and it's just the way that the community responds to us when we go out to places like the Tunbridge World's Fair, or we go to the Farm Show, we go to used to be the Home Show in Barrie. People come up to us and just, they consider us part of their family. Oh, I heard you talk in the morning about this. The Roger Hills, years ago, the Rusty Parkers, the Cousin Harolds, they became part of the family. You got to remember that there weren't that many radio stations when we went on the air. And when I came here, there were only really about three stations in the area, WSKI, WSNO, and us. All of the others kind of came afterwards and filled in the spaces. So we were really a part of the family. And they woke up in the morning to the cows and the trading post and listened to the morning news, and then they went on throughout the day with all the different programs we have. The fact that we have three major news blocks in the course of the day, our associations with Channel 3, our associations with Vermont Digger, and the thing that Eric Michaels put together some years ago about talking to the local reporters and the news editors of all of the dailies that we have here in the area. So important, because that brings you right into their neighborhood, brings you right in. You get to know the folks and what's happening in that community. And I think the whole community aspect of how we reach out to people and how they reach back to us, it's a big part of why I stay here. And, of course, the music has always been a big part with me. The local music is what I really enjoyed at this station. And it continues to, and Artie's doing a great job in the afternoon with that. Mm-hmm. Inviting the artists to come in here, performing live, bringing their CDs in, talking about where they're going to be. So important to the community. It's so important to the artists to get their word out. And I so applaud his continuing with that.
How has radio changed over the last 40 years?
You want to go back to the vinyl days?
Since you've been back
to the 8-track days, go back to the cassette. Well, I was there when all that. So that's how old I am, Mike. Yeah, I remember the vinyl days here with the cassette days, and the cassettes would break every five or 10 minutes. The loop would go out or something. And they had the 8-track tapes here as well. I think to the technology today is, although some people prefer the vinyl from a listener standpoint, I think it's with the CDs and the capabilities and the digital downloads that we have so much access to the music today, so quickly too. I mean, Paul Simon's, you can get Paul Simon's recording, which is being released today, is new and Stranger to Stranger. I think folks can go online and listen to a couple of the cuts from that. You couldn't do that years ago, no way. You had to wait till it came out.
Has it changed for the better?
I think so, from that point, yeah. Hmm. I don't know if the artist would say that, because, a lot of their music is downloaded and not paid for, so that can be a problem for the artist himself. But from a listener standpoint, it's better.
Community radio, I mean, it is changing in a variety of ways. And as you see sort of consolidation of major corporations taking over various radios, we tout here our locally owned WDEV. Right. It's sort of different in the other parts of the country where there's conglomerates that take over the radio stations. And this is a different animal here at WDEV.
And you'll find it's really different when a major event happens. It requires somebody to be in the radio station when something really happens. You can't get a hold of anybody at the radio station to find out what's going on or to let their news department know so they can go out and investigate it. And that's what local radio is all about, having somebody here in the building and making sure that we're paying attention to what's happening out there. And it's the whole community aspect as well. I think we're losing that when you have the conglomerates, because they may have somebody on in the morning and somebody on in the afternoon, middle part of the day, nobody's there, nobody's home. Mm-hmm.
If you could change one thing in your life, what would it be?
Change one thing in my life? Well, that's a tough one. I think I've been very, very fortunate in being able to do what I have done and continue to do, I think, at an acceptable level, if you want to put it that way. I don't know. I mean, I always wanted to be in radio in some respect, and here I am knocking on 50 years here pretty soon, another year or two. And I've been fortunate enough to have a wife who made the money while I played around. She was a registered nurse. She spent 40 years taking care of people, and she made the money in the household, and I just kind of stayed here and played radio.
So. Yeah, we have something in common now.
Yeah, yeah. Bless those wives that let us do what we love.
Huh? That's right. We're speaking with Jack Donovan, and we'll continue our conversation with Jack in a moment. This is Open Mic. Welcome back.
It's Jimmy Buffett Day.
I know. We're just going off into paradise someplace. Welcome back to Open Mic. I'm Mike Smith. We're speaking with Jack Donovan. Jack's been here for over 40 years, and we're celebrating the 85th anniversary.
Have you noticed how many people have come back to WDEV over the years?
I've noticed.
It's just incredible, isn't it? Huh? And I just never left.
And that's why we played the Hotel California.
It just seems like you
can never leave.
Your engineer over here, he's been here a couple of times, and Tom McLeod, he was here before, and he came back. Joel has been here two or three times. Tom Beers has been here two or three times. Hester Fuller is back.
That's right.
It goes on and on and on. Must be something about this radio station.
Must be something about this radio station. What's that foretell about me?
I don't know, Mike. We'll welcome you back.
You had a heart condition, I guess is how I would describe it. What happened there?
Well, I was I consider myself a pretty I was a pretty active guy. We got two dogs, and if you got two dogs, two big, huge labs, you end up being pretty active. You walk those guys a couple times a day. I ate well, exercised, and then for some reason, one day I was walking the dogs, and I felt this pressure in the back of my back. And then I felt that when I stopped, I was having problems catching my breath. And this went on for a little while. I said, this is not right. I think most people know their body when there's something wrong, or they should. So I went then and to my primary care doctor, and he says, well, I think you might want to have a stress test. So I went and had the stress test, and they failed that. So the next step from the stress test is what they call a cardiac catheter. And that's when they go in and go up through your they go up through your leg anyway, and they take a picture of what's inside the heart, and then they just found that I had three seriously occluded arteries and one that needed a stent. So in essence, I had bypass surgery. And it does change things. You find out that, you're not as today may not come, this tomorrow or whatever. Things may change in your life rather rapidly. They said that it was a good thing I got in there because I was pretty much near closing time. So that puts another one on it. So I went into the cardiac rehab, and I still do cardiac rehab today. I go twice a week to Central Vermont Hospital and do the one-hour program, and so far I've come through it okay. I'll still get a little tired during the course of the day. That was one of the reasons why I stopped full-time here, because even though I had the heart surgery done 2008, it was 8 years ago, a few years later, I started getting tired again. And, you want to be at your freshest when you go on the air at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was tired. So I said, I think it's time for me to go to a part-time situation. And so that's when I decided to go part-time.
Did it change your perspective on life?
I think it does. I think it always does. I mean, that's the signal. And as you get older, I mean, it happened when I was 64. So, the old sign, the closing time is getting closer and closer, so let's enjoy what you can do, for what time you have left. So that's when I decided to cut back.
What do you do for enjoyment?
Well, now? I said I have the two labs at home. Take care of those. Diane and I like to take some day trips now and then. We love the Charleston, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina area. We get on there about every other year. We get on there for a couple of weeks. We like Maine, the coast of Maine. We go up there. We try to take day trips. You know, Vermont's a beautiful state, and we try to take day trips around the state here as well. And I've just completed doing about 16 years of work with the vets over here at post number 59 here in Waterbury. We have this USO show we would put on every year, and that took about two or three months of the real work. We had a cast of about 30 or 40. We just kind of wore ourselves out. But that was a lot of fun. I do a lot of work. I was doing a lot of work with the vets then.
You are a vet. U.S. Navy.
Yes. Yep.
What did you do in the Navy?
I was in the USS Coral Sea. I was back in the early 60s. I served on the Coral Sea for 2 years, active duty.
What kind of ship is that?
Aircraft carrier.
Aircraft carriers.
Operated out of California. So I did a Westpac cruise and went to 19 years old, and I went to Hawaii and Hong Kong, the Philippines, Australia. I mean, really wakes you up, 19-year-old kid doing all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
What advice would you give somebody that's coming into radio right now?
It's a different world than when we came in. And I think if anybody's coming into radio today, be prepared to do everything. Just don't think that you're going to be this afternoon announcer and make lots of money. It's not going to happen. Not here in Vermont. If you're really good, you might get lucky and get a middle market job and move on to a major area. But be willing to do anything and everything. If you have a passion for it, you'll work at it. And no matter how long it takes, you'll stay with it. But you got to have that passion.
And one other question that I had, and I've asked everybody this, and it's been interesting. It takes about 4 or 5 minutes for a lot of people to answer this, but what do people need to know about DEV?
To know that we're not an old people station. I think a few years ago people thought that we were just a station for the older set, for the older people. And I think that is gradually, the more news and information that we brought on board, the things that we've done with sports. You know, we were one of the first radio stations to include girls' high school basketball, girls' sports. You know, everybody wanted to shy away. It was the boys' game. The local, the ACT races, we have something for everybody here, and we're not just for old people. Yeah, and Artie's playing this music in the afternoon that's geared toward, I think, the millennials, the people who enjoy the music of today. We don't have a lot of music on the radio station. When I came here, there was music throughout the day. There was a block in the morning, there was a block in the afternoon, there was a block at night. So now we've got this news, information, sports thing going on, and I think that there's something there for everybody. Mm-hmm. I really do. I mean, and particularly if you're on the radio on your way to work, you want to find out what's happening in the morning, whether it's Roger Hill or Eric in the morning with the news with John. I mean, we're there for you. We have the talk shows. Everybody's got a voice in this radio station. Let's face it. Mm-hmm. You listen to the radio station, we're dealing with the time. And we've got the whole sporting thing taken care of, I think, with the major NASCAR races and what's happening here in our own backyard at Thunder Road. All of the high school sports that we do, Norwich football, Norwich hockey. I mean, we got it all.
If you had to use one word to describe WDEV, how would you do it?
Inclusive. Yeah, I think we include everybody in what we do here during the course of the day. If you don't like something, wait a few minutes. Something will come along the pike that you like.
One of the things that people have talked about are the people at WDEV. You've been here 40 years. Can you sort of reminisce about the different people that have been here and are still here?
Oh, yeah. I mentioned before, there's a lot of people that have come and gone, and there's got to be a reason for that. I think Ken says, well, so you want to leave, huh? You want to go somewhere else? Okay, go and see how it is. If it doesn't work out, maybe we'll bring you back. Most of the time they come back. You know, it's just a real family operation. I mean that in the strictest sense. It's a family operation. We may have our problems with each other here, but somehow we resolve them. You may not like what Eric says, but you sit down and talk with him, you'll come to a head. You may not like what Ken, you know, as program director here for a lot of years, I would have the unenviable task of going into one room. Eric would be on the left, Ken would be on the right. I'd go in here and say, I think we should do this. Well, maybe. I'll go into can't do that. I'd go back and tell Eric that Ken said that. But we all three got together, and we resolved the problem. That's what you do. You resolve problems as a family. You know, you may fight, but you all come together eventually and find out a way to resolve it. And I think that's what community is about.
And it seems like an eclectic sort of
crowd
here.
You think? You've been at the lunch counter, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
Down at the commissary?
We won't talk about that on the
Spent
air.
Spent a few moments. Come on, during the noon hour, folks, here at Radio Vermont. I remember a lot of those commissary days, yes.
What are the
Ken Squire Memorial Reading Room or something of that.
If you had to sort of think about a disaster on the air, does something, you know, something that just didn't go right during the time that you were on the air. Does one incident come to mind?
I'm looking around at this room in here. I remember doing my show one afternoon. They were cleaning out the vents, and they were painting inside while I was doing my show in the afternoon. And I would have to do it between each paintbrush, each vacuum of the thing up. It's the only time we can do it, Jack. They just can't come back at any other time, so... That was a fun afternoon.
And what was happening? Were there cleaning out the vents?
Oh, of course, yes. The things were falling off. There's a hook in there. That one of the things fell while he was on. And that was Jimmy Buffett this afternoon. Well, excuse me. You make them part of the conversation. They become part of the show in the afternoon.
Was there anything that ever you sort of was one of those oops moments when you said something on the air and not... You know, something that you shouldn't say, but something that just went wrong on the air.
Boy, I can't. At this point, there's so many things that went wrong on the air. I can't read. They aren't all coming at once here.
That's okay. We only got 2 minutes anyway. So.
Something went really wrong on the air. Well, I know. Go back to the remotes. I can remember some of the remotes that we did over the year. I can remember doing a remote. And then, years ago, we used to have this system where we would set up kind of a mini transmitter up on wherever building you were, and it would shoot the signal up to Wedgwood, and then it would shoot the signal back to Blush Hill. That's how we did it in those days, doing a remote. Mm-hmm. All dependent on whether you're a little... We used to call them antler's ears because it would sit on top of the roof. If a wind came, it would blow it over, so you've lost your transmission. And I'm interviewing Robbie Crouch with the ACT and Alan Lumbers, and I'm next up is Tom Curley, and about ready to empty, and I see the thing fall down. I just went on with the interview like nothing ever happened. They got my part, but they never got his part. But it was, those things happen every now and then.
Jack Donovan, it's really been a pleasure, and thank you for all the years you've been on the air. It certainly is a pleasure, and you are as nice and quiet every day as you come across on the air.
So does that mean I have to leave now? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Get out of here.
Get out of here. Thanks, Ken.
I want to thank all our guests today. I want to thank Riley Field, the newly crowned Miss Vermont, who joined us in studio. And I also want to thank her, Jack Donovan, who helped us and is helping us celebrate the 85th year anniversary of WDEV. And, of course, next week, a lot of politics, because we're going to have the California primaries and a lot of California primary and a lot of primaries out there. That will be the decision point on who probably is going to be the Democratic nominee. So I want to thank all of you for listening today. And this is Open Mic, and you are listening to locally owned and operated WDEV Radio News on the Friendly Pioneer, celebrating its 85th year anniversary this year. We just heard from Jack Donovan about that. WDEV AM 550, broadcasting from Waterbury and Montpelier, 96.1 FM from Warren, 96.5 FM from Barrie, and serving the kingdom at 101.9 FM from Island Pond. And of course, we're streaming worldwide at WDEVradio.com. I'm Mike Smith. Thank you for listening to us. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk again on Tuesday.
The Open Mic Podcast is brought to you by Hickok Boardman, Dennis Ricker, and Brown.
Find us online at hbinsurance.com, and you're always welcome to visit us on Facebook, in Vermont, online, on the phone. Hickok and Boardman Insurance Group. We are here when you need us.